Welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, a podcast for Canadian small businesses. We interview Canadian experts and entrepreneurs to provide expert insight into marketing, innovation, business leadership, technology, and trends that impact small businesses.
Whether you're just getting started or already established, UPS is here to help you make the most of your time. Their services, tools, expertise, and team of UPS Small Business Ambassadors can help businesses of all sizes simplify processes, improve customer experience, and guide you on the path to growth. My name is Elaine Tancomo, founder of Easy Daisies, Daily Visual Schedules for Kids, and I want to invite you to visit UPS.com to learn more and save up to 52% or more on shipping. This is a paid advertisement.
Hi, this is Kripa Anand, and welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, where we explore the strategies and solutions that empower small and medium-sized enterprises to thrive. Today, we are focusing on the critical area of human resources, examining how businesses can access expert HR support without the overhead of full-time staff, streamline their policies, and navigate the evolving landscape of AI in HR. Now, recent trends highlight the increasing popularity and effectiveness of fractional HR services, the challenges of managing complex organizational policies, and the growing role of artificial intelligence in transforming HR functions. This discussion will provide valuable insights for business owners looking to optimize their people management strategies. Joining us today is Brad Ratz, Director of Growth Strategy and Client Experience at H2R Business Solutions, an Ontario-based HR consulting firm specializing in providing tailored HR services to small and medium-sized businesses. So before further ado, let's welcome him. Brad, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me today.
It's our pleasure. Now, Brad, fractional HR services, you know, offer a flexible alternative, providing, you know, expert support tailored to their specific needs. So let's start by understanding, what does it mean for H2R to operate as a fractional HR firm? And, you know, go ahead and highlight the key advantages and flexibility that, you know, this model provides for SMEs out there.
Yeah, I'll start with the last part of the question, and then I'll answer the first part. And part of it is the flexibility to follow the ebbs and flows of small and medium-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. A large organization can be a bit more predictable in a sense, and small and mediums usually have to shift or pivot and can they're more agile by nature.
Right.
So where we fit into that with a fractional is we do offer essentially a completely flexible support system, and we can follow very closely the ebbs and flows of that organization and either ramp up support services or ramp down. Traditionally, the path that we follow is we usually have more of a sticky relationship at the beginning, and mm-hmm. then we taper off as systems and processes get in place and we execute on, you know, whatever the outcomes of the organization are. From the fractional HR point, we cover all the different areas from employee relations to onboarding, right. Hiring, recruiting, all of those different areas. And we've got the different skill sets and specialties to support those.
Well, that definitely sounds like, you know, a very practical and cost-effective solution for many SMEs, allowing them, you know, to access expert HR guidance precisely when they need it. Many organizations, you know, struggle with outdated or overly complex policies as well. So now, Brad, let's discuss how H2R helps businesses navigate this. You mentioned organizational sludge in relation to policy development, right? So can you elaborate on, you know, what you mean by this term and how H2R helps business, you know, develop clear, effective policies that, you know, avoid unnecessary complexity and inefficiencies?
Yeah, so sludge was founded, started in the government space, and sludge is the approval process. It's the resistance. It's the task-based systems that organizations need, and inherently, government needs sludge. You know, you don't want to build housing with where a power grid can't support the housing. You know, you need. But as things get to be more and more complex, sludge then becomes a barrier and can stifle innovation. And so we're starting to see that come on the organization and the for-profit, nonprofit space, not just the government. And so what does that look like? Well, what I look at it is, so we have something called go energy and stop energy within organizations. Go energy is derived from, you know, it could be revenue. It could be, I quantify it in an area called, I call inertia or momentum of an organization. And that creates go energy. Stop energy in a corporate environment is typically done through things like policies. And you do want some stop energy as an organization. So one example would be you would probably want some type of an approval process for expenses.
Right. Boundaries, right?
Yeah. And so for me, it's that ratio of go energy versus stop energy. And you can typically follow an organization's growth trajectory with how much go energy.
Right.
And so one thing that we do from a policy perspective for small and medium-sized businesses is we make sure that we don't bind them through policies so that they don't have the agility they need to scale. You know, a company with $5 billion in revenue has a substantial amount of go energy, and where you can introduce a little bit more stop energy and you're not going to stifle the organization. Not so much in an organization that's doing $1 million, $2 million, $3 million a year in revenue. And so one of the things we do from the onset is we look at, A, what policies are in place and are they effective? Are they draining or are they energizing the organization? And two, we typically look and we do what's called an assessment, our HR assessment first, because we want to understand, you know, how much go energy is in place.
Right.
Work with that company introducing policies that are going to be effective. One example that I had recently discussing with a client was around the 80-20 rule and making sure that they have 20% of their time free to do the things that are going to help the organization grow. This is one that you've probably read a lot about it, you know, Gmail, Google's famous with Gmail.
Right.
Google follows this 80-20 rule and allows flexible time to do and work on projects. And that's how Gmail came to be. And same type of concept where we try to balance, you know, productivity and being proactive as an organization versus binding an organization through approval processes or something along those lines.
Wow, that is, I love this go energy concept, and you know, definitely I'm going to implement it in my routine tasks as well. And that was a very vivid description, Brad. It's clear that, you know, streamlining policies and, you know, cutting through the bureaucracy can significantly improve organizational agility. So thank you for highlighting that. Before we go any further, here's a special message for all of our listeners, especially for all the small and medium business owners out there. Are you looking for expert HR support without the commitment of a full-time hire? Remember, Fractional HR Services can provide the expertise that you need when you need it. Now let's get back to our conversation with Brad and explore the role of AI in HR. Now Brad, back to you. Technology continues to transform HR, right? Introducing new tools that can streamline processes and enhance decision-making. From your perspective, what role do you see artificial intelligence playing in the future of human resources for small and medium-sized businesses? Are there any specific AI tools or applications that you believe will be, you know, particularly impactful for HR functions, or any trends that you see recently?
Yeah, it's really starting to come into play in many facets. One interesting point about AI is most new technological advances require substantial capital to invest in. And
right.
That puts it out of reach to small and medium-sized businesses, where AI has entered in and really kept the cost of entry into that technology very low. And so we're seeing AI in several different areas. Fairly prominently in the recruitment space, where there is quite a bit of automation that can be done. But one thing we are keeping an eye on is there is some legislation coming out to help understand, define, and govern AI use when it comes to recruitment for companies. But some advances that we've seen, I do say it's not commercially viable yet, but there is a company that we met with And they actually will do like an AI interview, and you can interview with it looks like you're talking to a person, but it's AI that you're interviewing with, and then it will send a transcript. So, you know, that's the stuff that's up and coming. What's practical now, though, is things like automation. We're seeing onboarding, you know, the forms that need to be filled out with every new hire.
Right. The automation, the repetition of tasks. AI is definitely taking care of that.
Yeah, where the variability is lower, right? We don't really see it prominently coming into anything around employee relations or anything like that.
Of course, it doesn't have that human element. It's still not there yet.
Yeah, but we're seeing some interesting stuff coming out. We're monitoring it closely, and then we're also monitoring, you know, what the government's doing and what we're going to see from a legislative perspective when it comes to AI.
That is, I'd say, a very forward-looking perspective. AI definitely has the potential to automate tasks and provide valuable insights in HR, you know, freeing up human resource, you know, a human brain for more strategic initiatives. Now, you shared a story about H2R's work with, you know, hospice of Waterloo region during a period of rapid growth. Can you elaborate on this specific HR challenge, you know, they faced, and how exactly H2R provided a fractional solution to support their expansion? What's the story there?
Yeah, so we see this quite common with companies that are growing, and there's two facets that we focus on. One is getting the right talent at the right time integrated into the organization. And so that comes through a few different areas. One is, what's the recruitment strategy, building out that recruitment strategy? And that could be, you know, either building recruitment programs internally to accomplish the recruitment goals or externally. Tying that back also to a compensation strategy of, you know, what's our go-to-market, what is our compensation compared to market, and where do we choose to be as an organization? So there's getting talent into the organization. And one thing that I think we bring to the table is, not only do we build out the strategy, but then we execute it. We are the boots on the ground for the organization as well.
Right.
I call it giving time back. I think that's our biggest value proposition as an organization, is as an owner, or even a senior leader in an organization, getting time back is almost invaluable.
Right.
And so we have that element. The other then is onboarding, integration, and the policies to get them in place. And so, you know, we look at things like implementing an employee handbook that works with the organization, and that the policies are effective. That goes back to the sludge element there, and that the policies are written effectively for the organization. Mm-hmm. The other element of that is around employee experience and culture. And we do quite a bit of work around, you know, not only defining with the organization what they want the culture to be, but what those action steps look like to actually build the culture. Right. And then we follow that as the organization grows. And as they grow, different complexities always come into play. And, you know, we're always adapting that strategic elements, and then implementing the processes that follow that. And we follow from, again, that strategic level down to that process. So it's not just strategy advisement, it's boots on the ground as well.
Very interesting. And since you mentioned it, in one sentence, how exactly will you describe your company's culture?
Yeah, I will. I'll share when I first joined H2R. And for me, it helped me answer what our culture is. Mm-hmm. And so, when I first started, I was getting to learn our clients, the processes, all the typical stuff.
Right.
And I had a peer buddy, but they were not available. So I messaged out to the team and I said, "Hey, I have a question." And I have never received such a rapid response from so many people offering support. And it really showed me what a safe environment can be for people to be vulnerable and share what they need help with, and how people jump at the opportunity to help others if they feel comfortable doing so. And so I don't know exactly what the word for that is, but I can describe the feeling, and the feeling was quite astonishing when I joined.
Wow, that is a very wholesome perspective. Now, building on that experience, let's discuss the essential HR priorities that SMEs need to focus on to ensure steady and compliant growth. Now, you know, identifying and addressing the key areas early helps lay a solid foundation for sustainable success. So, Brad, from your perspective again, what are some of the most critical HR considerations that, you know, SMEs might overlook? And are there any proactive steps that you recommend that, you know, they should take to build a strong and compliant HR foundation?
Yeah, so there's many different areas here. First one that I would look at, so our name is H2R, which stands for hiring to retire. So for me, what I would do as an owner is I would look at, okay, what are all the points in my employee's journey from the point that they hire, I hire them to the point that they retire. And so when you look at hiring, it is, are my job postings effective? Pay transparency is coming. So am I compliant in my pay transparent?
Yeah, right.
Employment agreements, you know, employment agreements keep shifting. So when's the last time I updated my employment agreement? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You've always got health and safety in there as well. So when's the last time I reviewed my health and safety policies? In terms of cadence as an owner operator, I would look at these annually. You can look at them more, but generally the cadence would be annually. Mm-hmm. And am I in compliance with those? If an employee relationship were to go south, then I would look at, you know, what does something like a termination agreement look like, and am I ready for that? But also, what type of feedback loop or review system do I have in place to help guide the performance of my employees? And so if you look at those four categories to start, I think you're going to be on a great footing. There's about 18 main touch points in the employee journey when we look at the hiring to retiring cycle. I don't know if an owner would have time to always keep reviewing all of those, but those would be the four that I would start off with, and then you're going to be in pretty good shape. The health and safety one's a pretty broader topic, but one thing I'll note is there's typically two categories, over 5 employees and over 19 employees. Mm-hmm. And so if you're over 5 or if you're just getting to be over 19 employees, that's something that I would definitely flag to look into, because you're getting into some different legislative requirements.
Well, firstly, I'd like to acknowledge how creative you are with this, you know, hiring to retire and go energy. I love the vibe. And also thank you for offering such practical, you know, set of advice. Following on, you know, focusing, I think, on compliance, clear policies and effective onboarding are fundamental for any growing business. Before we let you go, Brad, if I were to give you a time machine right now and say you were to travel 5 or 10 years into the future, when you get out of the time machine, how do you envision H2R Business Solutions? What do you see?
Yeah, I would see us as being two big things. One is a support system for all owner operators in the small and business, small and medium-sized space, but also being the support in the HR space for larger organizations. And I think you need both, because we need to be market leaders in terms of our understanding of HR, HR principles, and HR practices. So we need to stay in that space so that we can take that information, dissect it, and really make it applicable to the small and medium-sized businesses. And so 5 to 10 years from now, I would say the H2R name is going to be well known, like the larger consulting firms in the world.
No, definitely it will be. The future looks very promising. Brad, if there's one piece of core advice that you have for our listeners today, something that you want them to do right after listening to this podcast, what would it be?
I would say take a look at your policies and your employment right, contracts,
right,
and just ask yourself one really, really quick question. Have I looked at these in the last year? And if you haven't, then take a moment and look at them and ask yourself, you know, what needs to be done.
Brad, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and insights with us today. Your practical advice on navigating the complexities of HR, it's truly valuable for our listeners, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. That was an insightful conversation with Brad Ratz, Director of Growth Strategy and Client Experience at H2R Business Solutions, on the benefits of fractional HR support, streamlining organizational policies, and the evolving role of AI in human resources. H2R Business Solutions provide tailored HR services to help small and medium-sized businesses thrive. Thank you so much to all the listeners for tuning in to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast podcast for more expert insights and resources that can help your business thrive. Also, don't forget to visit our website, canadiansme.ca. And lastly, a very special thank you to our podcast partners, RBC, UPS, A1 Global College, ADP, and Google for their ongoing commitment to empowering SMEs. Until next time, keep innovating and striving for success. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Canadian SME Podcast. Please visit CanadianSME.ca to subscribe and join us next again as we share more expert advice from Canadian business leaders.